Randy, that is going to be the first part of my my dippers here. In fact, I'll just jump right into it. So let's talk about this. We have some very interesting picks right now, in a good way. I mean, right now we have Tom Homan as what's his title? Border Czar. I'm loving that. Kristi Noem as Department of Homeland Security Secretary. We've got, as of just a few minutes ago, we also see that Tulsi Gabbard has now been named as the Director of National Intelligence. Who did I see this morning was appointed to be the Director of the CIA? Wasn't John Ratcliffe. John Ratcliffe, I thought, maybe it is John Ratcliffe. Check and see what he...
Yeah, it is John Ratcliffe.
John Ratcliffe? Mm-hmm. That's the former DNI. That's the former Director of National Intelligence, now going to be the head of the CIA. Outstanding. We've got... what else have we got? Of course, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, we'll talk about more of them later. They're going to be heading up a separate organization that is not going to be governmental. It's going to be quasi-governmental, an outside agency that's going to be providing governmental efficiency streamlining operations. And I'm loving already seeing the memes from the movie Office Space of the two guys coming in saying, well, tell us exactly what you do here.
Yeah, there's been a lot of great content. You know, Javier Milei, the Argentinian president,
yeah,
who cut like 80% of the programs and had a surplus the next year for the first time in however long. But there was a video of him. There was a big board of like little Velcro things.
Yes.
Like that. And it was in Spanish going by. I said, Department of this? A fuerte. And he's throwing it back. He's like, this is going to be Elon's first day. A fuerte.
A fuerte. A fuerte. get you gone. All right. But then, so one of the ones that came out yesterday was Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense. And my first thought was, what? I did not see that coming. I mean, Pete Hegseth is, everybody here typically knows of him as a Fox News, pundit. He's great with veterans issues, and I've loved the things that he's done. And I've heard him speak. I met him briefly in like this receiving line. It was no big deal. But Pete Hegseth as Secretary of Defense. And my first thought was, why? I don't get it. Is that, and then I had to stop and remind myself, wait a minute, I did see his resume one time. Okay, hang on. And so I began to think back on this. Now, am I entirely, am I totally in my comfort zone with it now? No. Only because I've never seen him proven as a leader of a large-scale organization. Not because I don't trust him, not because I don't trust his character or his values or his love for country. I don't question any of that. I don't question his service. But I've never known of him in terms of leading a large-scale organization, although he was the National Executive Director for Concerned Veterans of America, which is a very large 501c3 organization. But it's not hundreds of thousands of people in the Department of Defense for the United States of America. So I look at it and go, interesting choice. Now, that does not mean, though, he won't have great undersecretaries and people working with him who can help him do the job he's going to do. I mean, no secretary does it all, but yet the buck stops there, right? So Pete Hegseth, what do we know about Pete? Well, so Trump issued a statement yesterday. Story, I picked this one up on Fox, which is fitting because that's where Pete's been for the last, 7 years. President-elect Trump says, I am honored to announce I have nominated Pete Hegseth to serve in my cabinet as the Secretary of Defense. Pete has spent his entire life as a warrior for the troops and for the country. Pete is tough, smart, and a true believer in America first. Now, there are several ways you can check in on Pete Hegseth, all right? You can look up his bio. You can look up his writings because he's got a number of books. He's got one right now that's still a bestseller. It's called Modern Warriors. He's hosted multiple special events for warriors on Fox Nation and on Fox News. Just so you know, here's a little bit about his background. I got a copy of his bio right here. If you did not know, he's 44 years old. He's got his Bachelor of Arts from Princeton University. While he was at Princeton, he also played basketball, and he was on the team when they made the NCAA tournament back in 2001. That's kind of cool. Doesn't mean you can be a Secretary of Defense, but it's still kind of cool. So he got his BA from Princeton. Then he got his master's 10 years later at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. So he's got a master's from Harvard, an undergraduate from Princeton. At the same time, he graduated from Princeton. He took a job with Bear Stearns as a capital markets analyst. So he knows the markets. He understands finances. And then he was also commissioned as an infantry officer. He was in the Minnesota National Guard. In 2004, he did a tour as a platoon leader in Guantanamo Bay. Then he did a tour in Baghdad in 2000. What year was that? I think the next year, actually, 2005. He was in Baghdad, awarded the Bronze Star and a Combat Infantryman badge in Baghdad. And then he went to Afghanistan in 2012 as a captain, where he served as a counterinsurgency instructor at the training center for Afghan National Army. So he's done two combat tours, one Guantanamo Bay tour, 10 years in office. I think he got out as a major. And he's a line guy, right? So he's not just somebody who did it a long, 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 long time ago. He's somebody who was on the line and it's not been so long removed from his time. So that's all really interesting. Can he do the job? I don't know. What are his philosophies? What does he want to see the U.S. military be like? Well, why don't we hear from him? So I've got an audio clip. Give me a thumbs up when you're ready on that, JP. Oh, thumbs up's already up. So I got an audio clip. This is Pete Hegseth, who, by the way, has a tattoo on his... I mean, he's got several tattoos, but he's got a tattoo going down one arm, and I got to think how it says, but it is Latin for God wills it, which is what the Crusaders used to say. Might tell you a little something about the way he thinks. Play the audio.
The Pentagon is in the book the exact amount of years, but in the past X number of years, 10, 12, 15, the Pentagon has a perfect record in all of its war games against China. We lose every time inside the Pentagon war games. We know what our real capability... You see, we didn't even get to this part of the war on warriors. I mean, the military-industrial complex, the way we procure weapon systems, you know, we're always... The way our system works, the way our bureaucratic system works, where the speed of weapons procurement works, we're always a decade behind in fighting the last war. Whereas China, we have, you know, what did Rumsfeld say? You go to the war of the army you have. China's building an army specifically dedicated to defeating the United States of America. That is their strategic outset. Take hypersonic missiles. So if our whole power projection platform is aircraft carriers and the ability to project power that way strategically around the globe. And yeah, we have a nuclear triad and all of that, but a big part of it. And if, you know, 15 hypersonic missiles can take out our 10 aircraft carriers in the first 20 minutes of a conflict, what does that look like?
Yeah.
I mean, and when they're, if they've already got us by the balls economically, which you pointed out very well, with our grid, culturally, there's plenty of elite capture going on around the globe. I mean, and then microchips and everything. Why do they want Taiwan? They want to corner the market completely on the technological future. We can't even drive our cars without the stuff we need out of China these days. I mean, they have a full spectrum, long-term view of not just regional, but global domination. And we have our heads up our asses.
That's Pete Hegseth. Was that Sean Ryan's podcast he was on?
It was.
I think it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was Pete Hegseth on the Sean Ryan podcast, sharing his views on China and on the Department of Defense ability to procure weapon systems, fight the modern war, and go to war prepared and ready. I also know that he has been very vocal against wokeism in the military. So here's, okay, I've been asked multiple times in the last 24 hours, Phil, what do you think about the Pete Hegseth thing? Does it bother you? What do you think about this? I will say this. I'm at an 80% solution on him. Not that they need my opinion, but I'm at an 80% solution. All right. I am, my only reservation is looking at it and thinking, I get it, but can he run a large scale, you know, organization like the DOD? And truthfully, I have yet to find anything that I disagree with in terms of his policy views, in terms of his politics, in terms of his background, in terms of his capabilities, in terms of his work ethic. I haven't found anything that I've disagreed with. But I just don't know his organizational skills in terms of leading at a big, 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 big level. That's all I got. We're going to talk more about this when we get back, and I'll tell you what Elizabeth Warren had to say. Do we care? It's still fun. Elizabeth Warren, what does Pocahontas say? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we're in the first dipper, national security, and I'm going to be on this for a little while because I think it's real, real important that we take note of not just the Pete Hegseth appointment, but other things that relate to our national security. And, oh, by the way, what foreign leaders are saying now that Trump's been elected. But let's go back to Pete Hegseth for a moment, because as you might imagine, there are those who don't like it, which really actually helps my position, to be honest with you. I find myself taking a little bit of, comfort in the fact that people like Adam Kinzinger don't like him, that, you know, Rick, you know, I'm sorry, that, what's her name? Elizabeth Warren doesn't like him. In fact, Elizabeth Warren. So I got a piece here from townhall.com. It cracked me up. It's so on point. So points out here, says, many people don't like the nomination of Pete Hegseth, which means it's good. It triggered yet another liberal meltdown over Mr. Hegseth's supposed lack of experience. But the man is a decorated combat veteran who also worked for Concerned Veterans for America and Veterans for Freedom. And Senator Elizabeth Warren's tweet about him, which was pretty condescending, seems to insinuate that Hegseth never served, but that's par for the course, and she's a fake Indian and a grade-A moron. And over at CNN, he says, Scott Jennings shut down all the talk about Hegseth's credentials, adding that the supposed brain trust of the Biden administration led to outright disasters everywhere. From the Kabul pullout to the humanitarian pier in Gaza, the people the political class and the media view as being competent blue-chip picks turn out to be utter complete failures. So that's a great point. Why would we trust anybody who confirmed the people who are in there right now? All right. So Elizabeth Warren, you can go pound sand. We didn't win so that you could have your way. In fact, you know, that brings up a point. The end of that article I'm looking at on Town Hall, he says, so just please shut your faces. Most of the country said they don't want to hear your opinion on the matter right now. Do we need to remind the country who Biden picked to help him run the country? Yeah. Point well taken. All right, so but here's what I do believe it means. I think that you're going to wind up seeing that we have an agenda-driven group of people who are coming in of one mind. Look at who he's picked. Right now, the only one who has not been, how would I put this? Like, only a couple of them that have not been, like, out there calling for massive reforms on a regular basis in kind of that vocal sort of change the landscape kind of way would be Marco Rubio, but I don't believe that Rubio, by the way, don't tell me he's a rhino because I don't believe he is. Marco Rubio has done a great job as a senator, and as he's been on point on pretty much everything. I think he's going to make a great Secretary of State. D&I, Ratcliffe, was just, you know, quiet, solid, and just in the background, and now he's going to be a good CIA director. I think that's true. The rest of the picks you can look at, though, right now we're seeing a bunch of earth movers. You know what I'm saying? We're seeing a bunch of folks who are going to shake some ground, and they already are. So we're going to get back from this break, and I'm going to tell you that there's already talk right now that Trump is preparing to actually start cutting generals. Cutting generals. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Liberal heads are exploding everywhere. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour numero two. Welcome back on this hump day. We're still in number one of the Triple Dipper, national security. And I appreciate all the text messages flowing in. I'm going to get to some of those here momentarily. And I'll tell you, my texter keeps wanting to reboot. So Mindy from Morris, Alabama says, can the House replace John Thune like the Senate replaced McCarty? Well, it's the Senate. It'd be the Senate doing that. You got it just backwards there, Mindy. It's the House was McCarthy, and the Senate is Thune. And no, that's what they just did. They just had the vote. The way that works. So keep in mind, McCarthy was Speaker of the House. That is a constitutional position. We're looking at the position that John Thune's in is a caucus-elected position to be either the minority leader when you're in the minority or to be the majority leader when you're in the majority. So basically, he's the caucus leader. So it's an internal decision. That's already been done. Now, they can have a vote of no confidence in caucus, but it's not the kind of thing they do on the floor of the Senate, to my knowledge. Jeff Rowe from Indiana is on the line. Hey, man, how you doing? You calling in early? What's going on?
Oh, I'm a happy camper today, man. Getting some good people in there now.
He's getting a full team. I mean, you know what's also fun is he's getting it done early. Last time he took a while with his picks. I think this time he came in ready to get them all designated, get some recess appointments probably, and have people in place on day one.
Yeah, and apparently he'd been thinking about quite a long time who he's going to put in here, there, and yonder, I guess. So
I would say
compared to
the
last time, because.
Did we lose him?
Go ahead.
Oh, there you go. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, go ahead. Come here. But what I was going to say is, the Lloyd Austin, I mean, Pete Hegseth could be a buck private, I think, and be smarter than that man is.
Yeah.
You go AWOL and don't tell nobody, and all the dumb mistakes that they've made, and he's still got his job. That even says that the person who's put him there is even dumber than he is.
I look at Lloyd Austin and General Mark Milley. And by the way, Mark Milley was one of the greatest disappointments to me. Mark Milley's got all the badges and the background of a warrior, and he acted like he was more of a culture warrior than he was anything when he got up into the upper echelon. I was so unimpressed with him as a chairman of the Joint Chiefs. But Lloyd Austin has been a waste of time, a waste of our time, and he presided over failure after failure, and it's just showed.
I'm still not so sure. I wouldn't have went after Mark Milley for treason, doing what he did with China, going behind the president's back saying, hey, I'll let you know if they're going to attack or something, That is a treasonous act to me.
Yeah, Milley, I think there needs to potentially, and I think Milley is even worried that there might be an investigation into him. But I don't think Trump will. I'll be honest with you. I think some of those things that would require massive levels of investigation will probably not happen. But I do believe, though, that we're looking at a Trump administration that will say, if there is a crime, we are going to prosecute. But I also look forward to not having an administration that creates crimes out of thin air to go after political enemies. We've dealt with that for the last four. And what's crazy is they accused us of doing that, and yet they've been doing it for 4 years.
Yeah, that's my second thing. I'm so happy about is Matt Gaetz. I mean, I know you may not think he's that great and everything, but I think he is the man to do that kind of job, because I've already heard on the radio that they're going to, try to reject him and everything and stuff, and all these investigations into him and stuff.
Here's my reservation about Matt Gaetz. My reservation about Matt Gaetz is he has a reputation for being not just a firebrand, but for being somewhat reckless and showboatish. And that's my only concern, is I don't want him having this position and it going to his head. I don't want him having that position and becoming, just all that. And I want a guy who's going to go in there and do the job with zeal, but I don't want them doing it with, like turning into some kind of, like giant televangelist as he hosts the position. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I mean, I'm trying to think of who else. I kept trying to think of who else would he put his AG in there and everything. Then it came out,
Cruz.
And it's like, I just slapped me upside the head. I'm like, yeah, Ted Cruz would be a good one. But Matt Gaetz is not going to hold back. And is talking about, prosecuting Mark Milley. He's the kind of person that would probably go after him. I think anybody. anybody who did something wrong, you know, you don't have to trump up any cases, pardon the pun, but there's so many people that did wrong and that has never been held accountable. I think it's a time for a day of reckoning, and
I think there's some people who lied about the January 6th commission, like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, that are probably a little bit on edge right now because they know Matt Gaetz. I think there are people like Mark Milley who might be a little on edge, but I doubt if that's really going to happen because he would have been subject to the military code of justice, I believe, and the UCMJ falls outside the purview of the attorney general. And then I look at the position. I really expected him to name somebody like Ken Paxton from Texas or Ted Cruz. So I'll just tell you, Matt Gaetz, I'm still processing it. My initial is I'm at about a 60% with him right now, but I could get there. I think I need to hear him address the position and talk about what his philosophy of taking the job is going to be. If he comes out there and goes, whoop, whoop, look at me, I'm going to be very concerned. If he comes out here and shows me a Matt Gaetz that I can get behind, I'm going to be good with it. I didn't even know he was a lawyer. So there's that.
Well, hey, Kamala Harris, I didn't know she was a lawyer either.
That's true. That is so true.
If she can pass the bar, anybody can do it.
Lord God, it's like one of those things where you look at it and go, apparently anybody can be a lawyer. All right, brother.
Where are you? Truck drivers out here.
Where are you out on the road right now?
Anybody? I'm about 30 miles south of the gauntlet.
All right. Well, be careful, and we appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one, Phil.
See you, buddy. So with regards to national security, before I even get into what the rest of the world is doing, here's another thing you might want to know. Red State has an article that came out yesterday. Red State, Trump is preparing an executive order to call the military of woke generals and admirals. Well, I hope so. I'm for that. Listen, there's a bunch of folks right now at the senior flag officer level that probably need to start getting their affairs in order to retire. And they should. If they have ever gone, like, oh, by the way, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, C.Q. Brown, if they have ever gone on the record declaring their love for DEI or critical race theory, if they have ever willfully shut down something claiming that it smacked of systemic racism or what, if they have ever tried to drum somebody out of the ranks because of a bare allegation of, you know, EEO violations or sexual harassment without giving them due process, if they have ever tried to force somebody out for vaccine mandates, then I say, by God, hit the road. If they have ever stood up and said, we agree that climate change is the existential threat that the DOD should be focusing on, and I want green energy Humvees to ride around the battlefield with, then get rid of them. There are some warfighters in the ranks. There are. And there are some warfighters who are general. I'll never forget, man, when I was with 20th Special Forces Group, we had a commanding general from USAFIC, which is Special Forces Command, come in. Dude was a warfighter. He didn't care. He was like spitting nails and talking hard stuff. And somebody said something about doing things, you know, in terms of working with diplomatic efforts. And he said, I'm for 5-5-6 diplomacy. We need some of that right now. I'm ready to go back and see a military that will step on, will win friends and kill enemies. That's what I want. I've got a sign on the wall behind me right now in the studio. It was a homemade sign we had on the team room wall in Baghdad. I brought it home with me. It's in a frame behind me. It says, win friends, kill enemies. That's what we want in our DOD. So Red State says, and I got a couple minutes here, Trump transition team is considering an executive order that would send into retirement any 3- or 4-star general that is deemed to be, quote, lacking in requisite leadership qualities. If fairly applied, that standard could force a supermajority of the 44 4-stars and 162 3-stars currently on active duty to go find a new home. It's apparently an executive order that's being drafted for Trump by some outside consultants. It's one that they say is being reviewed by Trump. It would require the establishment of what they call a warrior board, a board of retired generals and non-commissioned officers who would send recommendations to the president as to basically who needs to go. So people who wouldn't worry about their own career because their career is already in retirement, and they would look at it and go, this is a bad one, sir, he needs to go. And listen, Trump can fire generals. Don't anybody think he can't. The commander-in-chief, if you have a commission You are commissioned under the purview of the President of the United States. You serve at his goodwill. And so one guy, a former Army lawyer, a JAG officer, says, it looks like the administration is getting ready to purge anyone who's not going to be a yes man. I don't think that's the case. I think they're looking for people who are going to quit with the wokeness, get back to war fighting, and be committed leaders who are going to say and do the things that the military is designed for. Get us away from the wokeness. I'm just saying. All right, I tell you what. Before I get into what world leaders are saying and talk about national security from that perspective, let's take a break. We'll take a break right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right, and we will be back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. So I got to tell you. Two things. First of all, I just saw a video on social media, and all it says is, okay, these videos are getting out of control. But AI-generated videos of, you know, today, President Biden and President Trump met together at the White House. And it's a video of them, like, partying together, going fishing together, riding horses together, hiking through the mountains together, playing golf, drinking a glass of wine together. It's like these AI-generated videos are hilarious, but they're also a little scary because, I mean, you look at it and go, wow. So you can just tell AI to do that and it'll create those things for you? That's just a little freaky.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever used Grok on
X. I don't
want,
it scares me.
Does it really? I like to. It's fun to play around with and make pictures, you know, but then
don't
you
be making pictures of me.
Not going to. But then you realize, this is kind of freaky.
It's very freaky. All right, hey, listen, but one other thing I wanted to tell you guys, too, before we go any further is if you'd like to get a copy daily of the Right Side Report, that's our new email blast that goes out every morning. It tells you everything going on here at Right Side Media. Right Side Media is the parent company. Right Side Radio is just one of our productions. We have multiple video podcasts. We have the audio podcast. We have the radio show. We have written op-eds that get published in a variety of news outlets around the region every week. So, yeah, if you'd like to get a copy of what's going on, everything to do Right Side Media, and update you, even get you ready for the show today. It'll tell you what the dippers are going to be and all that kind of stuff in advance. All you got to do is text the word newsletter. It's one word, newsletter, to our number that we use for everything else, 833-68-RIGHT. Just text the word newsletter, and it will come back to you immediately with an opportunity to hit a link and sign up for it. Send us your email address. We'll get you in the system. We've gotten a ton of signups already. This thing's just rolled out in the last week, so we'd love to get you in the list, and it's about to go much bigger, so get in early so you're one of the OGs. Be one of the original gangsters on the Right Side Ruffian, Right Side Report.
Also today we passed 500 subscribers on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, we did.
Big milestone, but if you haven't already, go subscribe to the Right Side Media YouTube channel, and now it's time to get the X page to 500. We're about 40 away from that, so follow us on X as well at @RightSide_Media, and help us get those follower numbers up.
Outstanding. Good stuff. Good job, JP. You know, we're hearing about what Trump's going to do domestically, right, with the Department of Defense. This whole first dipper. I mean, I'm spending time on it because it's just so huge, so important. And we do know that he's going to be on a culture war counteroffensive, right? I mean, he's coming in with the intent to transform the U.S. military back to its glory days. Promises to slash spending, but that's because he's going to refine spending, not cut the budget, not cut benefits, not... And wait till you hear the scary stories. Oh, he's going to make us less safe. Have you seen Afghanistan? He's going to make us less capable. Have you seen the fact that the Navy can't build ships right now? He's going to take away from our ability to do things. What things are you talking about? You mean like sending all the money over to Ukraine? He's going to thin the top ranks. He's going to roll back efforts. TheHill.com wrote a great piece. It says he also, by the way, is going to be presenting policies to deal with controversial culture war issues. Yes. Yes, he is. I think you're going to see some major revision in the efforts to implement DEI and say that systemic racism is pervasive in the military. Democrats are going to argue. I mean, they're going to come at it. They're going to say, we've got to have our DEI. The military is not meant to be a diversity, equity, and inclusion place, but not in the way they call it. We are already, the military is already the melting pot of our society. Foxholes have men and sometimes women of every background, creed, color, and race together in foxholes. We don't discriminate against their religious beliefs, unless, of course, they don't want the vaccine. Then we do, apparently. So there's going to be a series of what I call culture war issues that the new SecDef are going to have to pursue. By the way, keep in mind, we are about to have, I'm getting more and more on board with Pete Hegseth. I'm still looking forward to seeing how he addresses. I almost want to hear from him soon. Same with Matt Gaetz. I want to hear from them soon. But Pete Hegseth is a combat veteran of the most recent wars who served capably. Our vice president is a former Marine, and our new national security advisor is a former Green Beret. I'm kind of digging that. And by the way, none of them were at the flag officer level. Like, Vice President-elect J.D. Vance was a grunt. I think he got out as an E-4, Lance Corporal, I believe. And then you've got, I believe that Matt Waltz may have gotten out as a major. I'm not positive, but he was a Green Beret with multiple combat tours. And then you've got, of course, looking at Pete Hegseth, got out as a captain or a major of National Guard duty, but he had tours in Iraq and Afghanistan and served. I'm stoked about it. All right. Now, what's happening on the international level? Well, a lot. I still haven't gotten to it yet. We're about to wind up hitting the break before I can even get to it. But I'm going to tell you right now, world leaders are already sitting up and taking notice. Yes, they are. So when we get back from this, I'm going to tell you about what happened with a phone call with Putin, what other world leaders are saying, and why Iran is noticeably scared. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. Y'all, Alabama. I mean it when I say it, Alabama. Y'all, this show, it was like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gaston, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I'm still on national security. Notice I'm not calling it national insecurity anymore. That's what I called it for the last 3.5 years of this radio show's existence, was national insecurity. Nope, it's national security, because I believe we're heading in a good direction. I just got a text here. Thomas from Athens says, any place for General Flynn? Since apparently President Trump indicated in 2023, you have to stay healthy because we're bringing you back. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And if so, what role would he want? Because I'll be honest with you, he may be somewhat burnt. I mean, he may have got his belly full of D.C. for all we know. But is there room for him? Certainly there's room. And who knows? We need a new Secretary of the Army, right? So I could see some of these things actually taking place. Does Flynn want to come back? I don't know the answer to it. Is there room for him? There certainly is. I would love to see General Flynn come back in. I remember back before Flynn got appointed to the Trump administration the first time, watching him do interviews, I remember literally thinking, I could work for that guy. And it's not often that I see somebody from a distance and decide, yep, but he's a yep to me. I could see General Flynn being in there somewhere. Jeff Rowe from Indiana texted in and says, here's one for you, Phil. Marjorie Taylor Greene as the education secretary. He said, wouldn't that be fun? It'd be fun, but we can't keep robbing the House. We got to keep some people in the House with our slim majority. I'll tell you who I want to see, Jeff, in Department of Education is Corey DeAngelis. Corey DeAngelis, who is the crusader for school choice, the actual combatant against the teachers' unions, I think their heads would explode if suddenly he was the Secretary of Education with the stated purpose of winding that sucker up and shutting it down and sending it all back to the states. That to me would be lots and lots of fun. Victor from Huntsville says, don't forget Tulsi's military service. Yes, indeed. And by the way, people don't realize Tulsi Gabbard actually got her commission as an Army officer right here in Alabama. She came through the NCO, the OCS school at the old Fort McClellan, It was a National Guard OCS she went through. And so, yeah, she got her commission here in Alabama. Dylan from Athens is new on the newsletter. Thank you, Dylan. Appreciate you. Sign up at the link it sent you. I see you got it. So good to go. David from Hoax Bluff says, how about we cut the federal government by 80%? 80 is a little steep, but I think we're going to cut it a lot. How about that? I really do believe there are people right now that are already considering their retirement options, that are literally saying, I know he's going to cut me, so I'm going to go ahead and go. I'm betting you that's happening right now. All right, listen, before I go too much further, let me jump into the other part of national security. What are the foreign leaders saying right now? Well, I've got a piece right here from the Daily Caller that literally says, Trump is back, foreign leaders are taking notice. Dateline, 3 days ago. It says, less than a week after the landslide election of former President Donald Trump, America's enemies are running for cover. Hamas has now said it is seeking an end to the war. You don't say. How about you pony up some hostages? Sorry, sacks of crap. Russia's Vladimir Putin has now remarked to reporters that Trump's desire to end the Ukraine crisis actually deserves some attention. You think? By the way, Vladimir Putin also said this. I had never heard this quote, and I don't know when he said it, but he's quoted in the article of Daily Caller here saying, as regards to when Trump got shot, that Vladimir Putin said, quote, his behavior at the moment of an attempt on his life left an impression on me. He turned out to be a brave man. Interesting. Meanwhile, Biden has trouble walking through sand. Kamala Harris doesn't remember when she's been to the border and is not sure how things work.
The left likes to say that's a bad thing, that Putin respects Trump. Oh, well, they're best friends. He's selling or giving away all of our secrets to Putin to try to impress him, which obviously is not true. But I think we saw that the only U.S. president that Russia did not invade another country under when Putin was in charge was Trump. Trump's presidency was the only one. So maybe it's not such a bad thing when Putin respects the U.S. president.
Yeah.
And it's not just reckless provocation from, you know, people like Joe Biden and, you know, Anthony Blinken. It's done nothing but kill Ukrainian men. And it's wiped out a complete generation of Ukrainians. So maybe it's a good thing that we come bring
maybe,
that to an end.
Just maybe. How about yes? China's Xi Jinping quoted last Thursday as saying that they welcome the right way to get along in the new era. They're talking about getting along now. And they point out in here, too, what have we dealt with now for the last few years? We had the disgraceful retreat from Afghanistan. The whole world saw it. The whole world knew they were dealing with a feckless leadership that would let anything happen. So the world watched that fiasco, right? And then we saw interstage left, Russian invasion of Ukraine, Chinese spy balloons, Middle East goes up in flames, military recruiting dropped to 40-year lows. Trump's new national security team, though, is going to inherit a Middle East that's engulfed in violence, and China marching towards Taiwan right now, and Ukraine, you mentioned a moment ago, is the largest war in Europe since 1945. All that to say, Trump's going to come back and make a difference. Here's one of the things that's got Iran taking notice. Iran is taking notice because Trump used to have what he called his maximum pressure campaign against Iran. He kept them drained of billions. They did not have the ability to fund their terror organizations like Hamas and the Houthis and Hezbollah. And one of the architects of that maximum pressure campaign was a guy named Brian Hook. Brian Hook is now leading the transition team at the U.S. Department of State for Trump. What does that tell you? Oh, shoot. We're going to have to deal with him again. Yes, you will. Trump apparently also issued a major warning to Putin last week. Story here on AmericanMilitaryNews.com. We have apparently that Donald Trump warned Russian President Vladimir Putin last Thursday not to escalate the war in Ukraine, emphasizing the United States has a significant military presence in Europe. Okay, you may be saying, I thought Trump was going to get us out of that. Here's what I think is very likely happening. First of all, Trump doesn't want Ukraine to lose, Russia to win. He doesn't want that. Nobody does. He wants Russia to get back in its place and recognize that there's a new sheriff in town. But Trump is not going to have the open checkbook that Biden had. the Trump administration is going to require a plan. They're going to require a strategy. They're going to require the ability to know that if we invest anything in there, it is worthy. And Trump's going to also require NATO to step up. Now, NATO's been doing things. Don't get me wrong. NATO's been doing, Poland especially. Poland, Germany, they've been doing, but NATO as a whole needs to pony up, because us writing checks on a daily basis is not going to continue to happen, especially in the absence of a plan. So I do believe right now that Trump is absolutely going to maintain pressure on Russia. It's just going to come in a different way. Trump's going to maintain pressure on Russia by shifting the world's energy away from buying from Russia. So suddenly Russia is now becoming, you know, less capable of funding its war effort. He's going to put sanctions on North Korea for sending troops to fight Ukraine, because that's happening right now. 10,000 North Korean troops are now entering the battlefield to fight for Russia. He's going to wind up putting sanctions in place, and he's going to also put pressure on NATO. And you're going to see an entirely different view that's going to take America off of being the check writer in chief to being someone who brings pressure on the world stage using, here's the thing, using the full force of what we call DIME, D-I-M-E, diplomacy, intelligence, military, and economics. That's the full force of the United States in all capacities. When you use it, when you use the force of DIME as an economic incentive, as a military incentive, as an intelligence or informational incentive, and as a diplomatic incentive, you drive the train forward with a concerted effort. You don't just write checks. So yeah, you're going to see DIME come back into play, and Russia's going to wind up being on notice. Trump also says, by the way, he's spoken with roughly 70 world leaders since last week. 70 world leaders since last week. It's a whole new day. I wonder if Biden has spoken to 70 in 4 years. You know it? By the way, a piece here on Fox News, Dateline about a week ago, says, after the president-elect Trump's victory, Iran is now prepared to contend with the man it tried to assassinate for years. Tehran has been reportedly interfering in the U.S. election. We heard that. We also know that Iran may have been behind a potential assassination attempt on Trump. But the Islamic Republic now is terrified, says one Iranian expert at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Says the regime knows that it can ill afford any more economic shocks. Even the return of maximum pressure again to Islamic Republic is going to cause major economic problems. Right now, we're also seeing Iran's currency falling to an all-time low. They are on notice, and they are worried. So is it a new day for national security? Yes, it is. Yes, actually, it is. What else have I got in the stack before I go to the break, just to make sure? Well, I think we're going to have to look at what it's going to mean for the defense budget. A lot of you folks out there listening right now, we got a bunch of green suiters at Redstone, a bunch of defense contractors in the audience, a bunch of veterans. I think you're going to see some of the defense hawks having to sort of mesh themselves with the fiscal hawks a little more. I think you're going to see a tightening of the purse strings, not in a way that says we're not committed to readiness, but in a way that says we're not committed to bloating and having legacy projects that continue to get funded every year. And we're also not going to see this endless stream of DEI-required initiatives mixed in with the federal contracting system. So I do believe you're going to see a tightening of the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act. Story here on Defense News seems to confirm that. And we'll wait and see how that plays out. All right, that's national security, you guys. Man, lots of it. I'll be honest with you. I'm, as an Army guy myself, as a generational Army officer, as somebody who has family members still on active duty, I feel good about where we're headed. I feel a whole lot better than I did about the last 4 years. Lord. All right, we're going to take a break right now. I'll come back and catch up on your text messages. Don't forget, top of the hour. My gosh, there's a lot of texts. Top of the hour, we're going to have the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.